A new year's approaching. We often think of what we've gained in the past year and what we've lost. So here's a sobering statistic. We lost 27,000 species of food products last year. Things like seeds, pods, vegetables, and fruit. According to Slow Food International, every year we lose that many. And they want to bring attention to endangered foods with a project they call the Ark of Taste. Resident chef Kathy Gunst was at the Slow Food Conference in Turin this past fall, and she joins us in the studio with more. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, Robin.
And we've had the founder of the Slow Food Movement on this program. We're going to hear from him again through you. But remind people, what is this, Slow Food?
Well, Carlo Petrini was the founder. He began Slow Food in Italy in 1986 in opposition to fast food. Mm-hmm. Specifically, there was a plan to open a McDonald's franchise near Rome's celebrated Spanish Steps. And today, the Slow Food organization has chapters around the world, and they promote locally grown food, seasonally grown food. And this is, a lot of people call this conference the Olympics of food. People come from all over. 220,000 visitors came from 63 countries, and I was there.
And you were there. You got to be there. And it sounds like that's a lot of species of food to be losing every year. So what is this Ark of Taste, and what are they talking about with this lost food?
The Ark of Taste is this huge exhibit that catalogs and identifies foods at risk for extinction around the world. Imagine like no more Maine lobster or New Mexican chilies. The idea is that if you identify these foods, you can try to begin to protect them. And these are foods that are at risk because of drought, disease, global warming, and chemicals used in farming.
27,000 species, though, lost every year?
It's a crazy, crazy statistic. This year alone, 1,000 foods were entered into the Ark. Russian black salt, Indian yak cheese, Moroccan honey. And these are very specific foods from tiny villages in some case. And they're foods that maybe we've never tasted, but they are important to the people who live there.
And when you say entered into the Ark, what do you mean?
People come from all over the world with the food that they're concerned about, that they feel are going to become extinct. And they talk to somebody who's in front of a computer terminal, and they tell them about the food and describe what they're worried about and why it's important to keep it there.
So that's entered in as an endangered species of food.
Exactly. And I met a delegate from Zambia called Cesar Catelli, and he talked about the importance of this project.
The rationale behind the Ark of Taste is to ensure that certain foodstuffs that are about to be extincted are protected and ensure that those foodstuffs are not wiped out completely by genetically modified foods. Most of these genetically modified foods come with a lot of chemicals, and they're not good for our bodies. This is the more reason why we've seen a high prevalence of disease within the continent.
Well, we've covered GMOs before. We will again. Of course, defenders say it allows more people to eat because it's a way of growing crops in places where they couldn't have been grown before. We'll put that debate aside.
Yeah,
obviously,
that's a big one.
Obviously, this delegate from Zambia is very concerned about
them. Very against it,
yeah. What else did you hear?
Well, I met people from all over the world. I was lucky enough to listen into Ana Claudia Lima e Alves, a delegate from Brazil, speaking to us about a seed that she brought to the Ark of Taste.
Urucum, a seed from Brazil, with the Indians use to color your bodies and to cook this, muqueca.
So muqueca is a Brazilian stew made with fish, coconut milk, and this oracum, oranata. The word is a Portuguese word. It comes from the native Indian language Tupi, and it means red. It's harvested still in the Amazonian rainforest, and it's used quite a bit in soups and stews throughout Brazil.
So she was saying that oracum, too, they use it to color their bodies.
Color their bodies,
so
yes.
So they wanted that in the Ark to preserve it.
She had actually planted some of it, and you can imagine with what's going on with environmental issues in the Amazon and the rainforest, how this might be at risk.
Yeah. Who else did you meet?
I also met a woman named Druze Anada from Tanzania. I asked her why she had traveled so far, and she brought tiger nuts. I asked her why.
Tiger nuts are almost disappearing, and they are very healthy for pregnant women, for children, and even for women who have just given birth, because it brings the strength very fast.
Well, so people are entering information about food species they want saved into a computer. But as you said, there's a physical ark, too.
Yeah, so they actually bring these foods to Turin, to the conference, and then they set up this huge display. So imagine, like, a country fair. You know how they have, like, all the jams and jellies out and all the best apples and the prettiest flowers? This is like a country fair on steroids. Mm-hmm. 300 types of apples, 400 types of gourds and squash, seeds and pods and strange-looking fruit from all over the world. It's so beautiful to look at it all.
What happens with the information once it goes in the ark?
That was exactly my question, Robin. I was lucky enough to attend a press conference with Slow Food President Carlo Petrini. What an amazing guy. He's so intense and passionate about this work. I asked him through a translator, what happens next?
La cosa più importante.
Now, there's one important thing that we can do for all these people, and it's not to be done only for the foods or the seeds that have been saved by these communities. What we can do is for the benefit of the communities themselves. What we can do through the ARC is to help them no longer feel lonely, no longer feel that they are at a loss on their own. No one is noticing them. No one knows about them. No one cares about them.
So the ARC offers moral support, as you heard. But did you leave feeling optimistic that things might change?
You know, it was hard not to feel this sense of optimism, meeting people from all over the world who were talking about the sense of empowerment they felt and passion, and being able to come together with other farmers, you know, African farmers meeting an Italian farmer, and a farmer from Kentucky talking to one from Italy. Realistically, I don't know what will happen with these foods. Will they disappear? Petrini seems to indicate that knowing about them, entering them into the internet, is a very good first step. So I like to end on optimism.
Well, let's do that. But how about also leaving us with a recipe? Because, Kathy, people just love your take on things. You know, you're in Turin, Italy, at a slow food conference. What would that inspire for you to cook?
I'll tell you, Robin. Yeah, there's nothing more optimistic than cooking. There was a display of hundreds of apples that are being endangered and all kinds of honey from around the world. So how about an apple honey crostata to start the new year?
Oh, what a wonderful thought. So we'll have that recipe at herenow.org. Kathy, thanks as always.
Thanks, Robin.